Imagine if you've ever been unhappy and then you've tasted real happiness. Suddenly, a whole new world opens up for you. Suddenly, you're aware that you can have something that you didn't know was possible. And sometimes it takes a messenger to come along and say, hey, you can have something that you didn't know was possible. You can have this, and it's for you, and it's for free, and you don't have to pay for it, and someone's already paid for it for you. And hearing that can set your world on a whole new course and can cause, I like this word, relief. Relief to come into your heart and in your mind. These are real things. This isn't new agey. This isn't something that's negative or Christian people should look at and go, I don't know what you mean by that. No, we want to have something real from God in our life. And God wants you to have something real in your life from Him. All right, so let me just check on a few things here. Get your Bibles. Let's get ready to talk and let's get ready to listen and receive, not just from what I have to say. Like I said, I deliver the message. Get ready to hear from God for yourself. He wants to share things with you. All right, so let's open our Bibles first thing to the 23rd Psalm. All right, the 23rd Psalm. Praise God. So I know this is going to do good things for you. I'm excited. Listen, I have a gauge that when I know I'm excited about what God's given me, I know that He has something to give you that's exciting. That's kind of my gauge. The more I'm excited about it, the more I know He's excited about it. If I haven't gotten that witness yet, of like, man, it just doesn't seem, you know, all that awesome yet. Well, then I know I haven't gotten the whole thing yet. But when I know, when I'm like, man, I can't wait to tell somebody about this, then I know I got something real from God. So, look in the 23rd Psalm. And let's look in as you get there. Get to my right note. All right. The 23rd Psalm. Let's look in verse 4 here together. Let's look in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard this at funerals before. I've heard this. I've seen it on greeting cards or little encouragement cards or things like that. But listen, this is God speaking to men through a man named David. And look what he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This whole life on this earth, not just circumstances or tough times or trials, this whole life on this earth is the valley of the shadow of death. Now notice one thing, it's a shadow. Jesus, we know in the new covenant, has destroyed Satan and all of his works. One of them was the fear of death. Isn't that good? Think about that. The fear of death. We don't have to fear death. Why? Because the Bible and the New Testament also tells us that Jesus took the sting of death. Listen, death did have pain. And death did have fear. And Jesus took it. Let that sink in. That really happened. He took the punishment. And He took the sting, the pain of death. You and I will never have to taste that. We'll step out of our bodies as believers, those who have accepted that Jesus is boss and Lord of our life, and said with our mouth that He is Lord, and we believe that He's risen from the dead. We'll never taste that pain of death. So why is it a shadow of death? Well, because we know that there is a physical death waiting for us at the end of this journey down here on this earth. But it's just a shadow. A shadow can't hurt you. Stand in the shadow of a tree, what do you get? Nothing. Maybe just some shade from the sun. Shadows can't hurt you. I said, shadows can't hurt you. And notice this also. We're walking through that valley. We're not living here. We're walking through it. Remember what the New Testament also says in the book of Hebrews. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. What does that mean to us? That means we're just passing through. This isn't our permanent life. This is part of our life, but it isn't the whole thing. Let's also look at this part. This is where I really wanted to get to. I will fear no evil. Now, that's a bold statement. That's a bold statement. Unless it has the next part connected to it. For thou art with me. For thou, talking about the Lord, art with me. Why is that so useful and helpful to us? Because he's the reason why we fear no evil. God with us. Now, is he just with us because, you know, he's along for the ride? You know, he has the same bus ticket as us. He's just passing through with us. He's some passenger in our life. No, 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 no. He is with us. And he is with us because he, man, this helps me so much in my life. Let me get it over in yours. He's with us because he wants to be. He is with us because he wants to be. That's crucial. As I like to say in my life, that's clutch. You can bank on that. He's with you because he wants to be. And think about this. Unless that got revealed to us, told us, that message got to us somehow, we wouldn't know that. Well, how else would we know that unless he gave us that message? And he gave us that message through this written copy of his covenant in blood. His sworn oath of loyalty to you and I that he cut in the blood of Jesus. That's the only way we would know. And now get this, that's the only way we will continue to know. Anything from him is going to come through, number one, this holy written word by his Spirit. And yes, he will send messengers through men to carry that message. That's how he set this up. But it's going to come through this book. And he said, David talking about the Lord, for thou art with me is reason I will fear no evil. Well, you and I, look at that. He made a decision. He made a decision that I'm not going to fear anything because you are with me. We can make the very same decision. Fearing or not fearing is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice based upon evidence. Tangible. Something real to go on. What we have real to go on is bigger than any feeling. Well, my goodness, get that. What we have to go on is bigger than any feeling. Feelings can come and go. Have you noticed in these circumstances going on the earth right now that you can go a couple hours and maybe not, well, depending upon if you're not glued to the news or social media, but you can go a couple hours, probably forget that anything's really going on. You're in your house, everything's good. The air condition's on or the heat's on, whatever it may be, having a snack, and all of a sudden, bam, you were feeling good, but the thought hit you. Oh, man, this whole thing going on. What am I going to do? You were fine before. You had good feelings, but now you don't have good feelings. You have some other kind of not-so-good feelings. I've been there, man. I've been there. You can forget something negative is going on, and all of a sudden you'll just get a helpful reminder. I say, well, not how about this, an unhelpful reminder that something's going on. Your feelings changed. So feelings can be up, and feelings can be down. They can change. But this word from God will never change. Why will it never change? Number one, he never changes. Man, that's so helpful to us. He will never change on us. He said, I am the Lord, Malachi chapter 3, and I change not. Talking about Jesus, who is God revealed to us. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, he says, talking about our Lord Jesus, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This word, this covenant, these words in this covenant from God to you and me, they'll never change on us. Which means we can trust them more than our feelings. In fact, we can leave our feelings behind and go ahead and trust in this with all of our heart by a decision. So notice what he's doing. I decide I won't fear. And I decide I do trust. that you are with me. Why would David be able to trust that God is with him? Well, let's go look at something that God said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy. Open up to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Got to make sure I have the right verse. The book of Deuteronomy. Go to the end of the book. I'm just going to confirm the verse real quick. Deuteronomy. I know y'all are waiting, but what else you got to do today? Where else? You got somewhere to be? No, just give me 1 second. I want to make sure I give you the right verse. Listen, I know I could quote it. And there's nothing wrong with just quoting Scripture. I want to make sure you have the place where you can go look at it and you can find it. You know what I mean? All right, good. All right. All right, praise God. Yeah, okay. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Man, I had chapter 31 in my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 31. We got the right one now. We got it now. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 8. And the Lord, he it is. Now notice, who's he talking about? Our God, the Lord, Jehovah, our Heavenly Father. He it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Let's put that in everyday English. I'm not going to walk off and leave you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm all in all the time with you. I'm sticking with you. Well, man, when you hear that, what does that put in you? I know what it puts in me when I hear it. Confidence. And not just a general confidence like, you know, that I can do anything and play anything and play basketball real good or something like that. No, it's a specific, focused confidence. I'm confident in God. And what do you do with confidence in God? You got to turn it loose. You got to let it out. You got to put it where it needs to go. We put it in him. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, in red, Jesus says, have faith in God. Not just have faith, brother. In what? Stock market and the force? No, we have faith and it's put somewhere specific. It's in God, in him. Why? Because he said, I won't fail you or forsake you. Notice the very next thing he says after he will not fail thee nor forsake thee is don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. The word dismay is a very strong word. It means to look around and lose courage. To look around. Based on what you see, to look around and lose courage. Man, isn't there a lot of that going on? Listen, if you're in this earth, you're going to have to deal with that. Probably every day. But you don't have to let it deal with you. You can deal with it. And you can say, Lord, I refuse to fear. I know you're with me. Let me share something with you. The Lord just checked me in my heart to go ahead and share this with you. I had been taking these scriptures and putting them into work in my own life. And by looking at them and taking time throughout the day to look at them more than once, because You got things coming negative your way more than once a day, so you got to put something good in your heart from God once a day, more than once a day. So the other morning, I woke up, and I was just suddenly aware, man, God, I believe you're with me, but I can sense it. And I don't mean just in my feeling, in my heart, just a closeness. God was around me. I said, sir, thank you. This is wonderful. And he said, haven't you been saying it? And it came back to my mind. Well, thank you. I refuse to fear, for I know that you're with me. I know you're with me. You're with me. And I said, yeah, I have. And he put this in my heart. Didn't I say, In Mark chapter 11, 23rd verse, if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you'll have what you say. Man, that just meant the world to me. God was able to be more of himself to me, able to do more of what he desires for me by just treating what he said in his word like it's true and then declaring it as true in my life. This is more than just an affirmation. This is more than just positive energy or positive talk. This is acting like Almighty God's word is good and like what he says is the truth. You can do it. Anyone can do it. Listen, man, if you know me for any longer than a couple years, if I can do it, anybody can do it. That's why he sent me to you. I'm not chosen as a minister and as a messenger because I'm the cat's meow. Listen, man, he used me to show you all, if I can do it, anybody can do it. That's the truth. But he also said here, look, I will not fail you nor forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Listen, God will not let you down. He will be a best friend to you. Now, let's get on over into something else here. We're going to come back and visit that in a minute. Let's go over now. Let's get into this, what we wanted to really address this morning. Psalms chapter 90 in verse 14. I'll give you a minute to get there. Psalms chapter 90 in verse 14. We're going to be talking this morning about tips for staying happy. That was the message. That was the title he gave me, and I thought maybe something else would come, but that's evidently going to be it. And that's good enough. Tips for staying happy. Listen, you don't have to wait to be happy until some quarantine is lifted, something changes in your finances, something changes in your body. You can be happy right now where you're at. And that's very good news. But you know why? You don't have to wait for your feelings to change. Something external can't control you anymore. Listen, we're wired as human beings to desire to be satisfied and desire to be happy. And you're supposed to have it. We went in depth recently in church talking about how I was up ministering one morning and I said, God hasn't promised us happiness, satisfaction, but he's promised us contentment. And man, I had God just go, mm-mm. I had a check. I had a no in my heart. That's not true. That's not the case. And instead of just ignoring it and brushing it aside, it stuck around. I said, sir, I think I missed it on that. I have a check from you on that. Show me, teach me, help me out. And so he had me begin to run references and go to the scriptures and look around and check some things out. And boy, was I wrong. He most definitely has promised us satisfaction, contentment, and fulfillment. Well, here's another thing he's promised us: happiness. When you're satisfied and content, that is the ingredients of being happy. Look at this in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Now notice this. My satisfaction in this life comes from him. It doesn't come from the external. It comes from him through the inside. Inside our hearts. Inside our reborn human spirits. Where his Holy Spirit lives and abides forever. Now notice, the Lord said this to me when I was beginning to read these scriptures. If our satisfaction came from something natural or material, it could be taken away from us. When he says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that doesn't just mean early in the morning. That means right now in our life, early, meaning you don't have to wait anymore. And when he says the word satisfy, that actually means that another word that translates into satisfy is glad. Being satisfied makes us glad. Well, another word for glad is happy, carefree, full of glee and good cheer. Listen, when you're in times of trouble and trial and you're full of joy and people look at you like, why are you happy? Listen, you can't keep that light hidden. You can't keep that witness quiet. When you're happy and everyone else is upset, they want to know why. And you can tell them. Listen, oh yeah, I'm right. Listen, I'm not ignoring anything. I'm not acting like anything's not the case. Sure, there's negativity all around us. And sure, there's tough times. But I can still be happy. God, listen, let's deal with this myth right now. God's not in control. Oh, how dare you? No, listen, if he is, he's doing a lousy job. He's in control over what we as believers put him in control over with our confidence in him, with our faith. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. He's turned authority in this earth over to us as believers. Now you can go on our website and we taught for three different messages on authority. But God's not in control. Oh, God's in control. Now that's an abdication of responsibility. God's given you responsibility in your life to choose whether you're happy or not, confident or not, fearful or believing. He's not in control of that. You are. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What? Now notice, he binds from heaven, not on earth. We do. Whatsoever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Notice, he doesn't do anything on the earth. He does it in heaven. We do it on the earth. Well, if he's in control, then why are we doing the binding and the loosing? Well, he's in control in heaven, but not on the earth. It's our choice of what goes and what doesn't go on this earth. Let that sink in. So, when we decide, Lord, I decide with all my heart, because of your mercy, because of your goodness, because you're in my life, I'm happy. His power then goes to work in your life to enforce that happiness. Yes! That's good. Now notice when he says, all of our days, God's best is that we are satisfied and happy all the days of our life, not just some days or another. Remember Psalms 23 that we just read. He said, I will fear no evil for thou art with me. It's not just on Thursday or Sunday morning. It's every day of our life. All day long, he's with us. Well, then we've got a reason to not be afraid every day of our life and all day long. Now, let's look at this now. Take this word happiness. There's another word for it in the New Testament. It's called content. Because this kind of happiness isn't based upon how I feel at the moment. I've got my fluffy whoopee around me. I'm content. Now, that's just a state of being at ease. And that's a very, very, very low form of contentment. Is the pizza hot or is it cold? Is it fresh? Is it thin crust? Is it hand-tossed? Oh, if it's hand-tossed, I'm happy. Now, that's just a form of being at ease or being satiated. We want to talk about and we want to address an internal happiness that you can have and choose to have any time of the day, any day of the week, all the days of your life. And that God's power, His Holy Spirit and His anointing help you to enjoy whenever you make that decision. Now, let's go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 in verse 5. I'll turn there myself. Man, oh man, this is good. Thank you, God, for helping us this morning. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, you're going to notice this is going to sound, part of it's going to sound familiar because it's based upon Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, notice, he says this. Let your conversation, your whole manner of life, how you live your life, your lifestyle, how you roll, be without covetousness. Oh, see there, you can't love money. That's just a little part of it. That is part of it, though. Covetous meaning you desire things and you have put things as the source of your happiness. God doesn't care if you've got stuff. He wants you to have stuff. How can you fund the gospel and get it around the world and be a witness of enjoying your life with other people and you are completely destitute and broke? It doesn't work. John 3:16 doesn't sign my checks. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't send a missionary across the earth on John 3:16. John 3:16, here's your airfare. It doesn't work like that. And we're in a fantasy world if we think it works like that. No, it takes stuff to do that. He said, don't make it the source of your happiness. That's covetousness. The Bible calls covetousness idolatry. I have to have this, and then I'll be happy. No, you can be happy whether you got the stuff or you don't. Check it out. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Notice that, content. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Just like God gives us a reason to not fear, for I'm with you. He gives us a reason to be happy. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's the same reason. The same reason we have to not be afraid. Lord, I'm not afraid. I refuse to fear. I will not fear because you're with me. It's the same reason we have to be happy. We have him. Notice he said, be content with the things that you have. What's the first thing he gave us? Himself. I give you me. I give you me. I'll be the best friend you ever had. Man, that's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, be reconciled to God. What does that even mean? That's what we're here to tell you. What does that actually mean? It means to decide that he's your friend. To decide that he's your friend. When he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start in verse 17, talking about being made a new creation. And when you're made a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away and all things are become new. He then talks about we have been reconciled unto God. What's that mean? He's decided that we are his very best friends again, legally. He's made it so. We're not just his friends in his heart and in his emotions. We are his friend legally, forever, permanently imprinted on his mind and in his heart, and it's legal in the court of heaven forever. You and I have been given a status as his very best friends forever. Well, then why would he say, be reconciled to God? We've got to decide to give God that same status in our life. Oh, we're legally his best friends, but is God legally your best friend? Have you made that decision? Well, he's not asking you to make that decision without something to go on. He's saying, I've decided, as for me, you're my best friend. Now you decide what you want to do. Well, I don't know about you, but I've decided a long time ago that he is my best friend forever. Yeah, once I saw that he made me his best friend, I said, sir, you are my very best friend. I love my wife, and she's my best friend on this planet, bar none, the one and only. But my Heavenly Father is my very best friend. My Lord Jesus is my very best friend. Because I know he's made me his. And he's made you this very same thing. So when he says, be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee. This is the voice of your best friend. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me read this to you from a different translation. Be satisfied. What's that word? Be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not in any way, in any degree, leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Look at what this word content means in this translation. This is the Amplified translation. The word content means to be satisfied. We could also say this, be happy. Decide to be happy. Notice, this is a choice. Contentment is not a feeling. It has feelings that come with it. Contentment is a decision. And you could make it right now. Lord, I hear what this man's saying. I decide I'm content. I'm content in you. And I decide, I believe, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Here, get this now. If he will never leave you nor forsake you, contentment never has to either. You can be happy and content no matter your circumstances. I didn't say your circumstances and what's going on in life would be always easy, but I am saying you can be content all the time. All right. Now, contentment, let me just give you a couple quick definitions of the word contentment. It means to raise a barrier. It means to be possessed with unfailing strength, to be satisfied. It also means to be independent of external circumstances. Paul said this in the book of Philippians chapter 11. He says, I'm not speaking in respect of want. I've learned in whatever state I am. And listen, this man, this dude, went through some serious circumstances. Stoned, left for dead, beaten, given stripes on his back. 39 stripes, or 40 stripes minus one. Three times. Treaded water a night and the day in the deep. Now listen, he shipwrecks, perils. I mean, this guy went through it. And he said, I've learned to be content, to be happy, to be satisfied internally in whatsoever state I am. That's serious. He proved this works under all circumstances. And God's no respecter of persons. He'll prove it. He'll supply the power and prove this true in your life. If you'll decide, Lord, I decide I'm content. I don't care about any of this natural stuff going on. It's there. I see it. But I decide I'm content in you. Listen, there will be something every day of your life, all throughout the days of your life, if that will try to rob you of your happiness and your contentment if you'll let it. But you don't have to anymore. You can be happy right now. Now, contentment. A state of being happy under all circumstances. Look at those two scriptures we just, one we read and one we quoted. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. Philippians 4:11. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm happy with it, and I'm happy without it. Listen, I have nice stuff, and there's some other stuff that I don't have yet, but I really would like to have. But I'm happy right now without it. Does that mean I'm choosing the happiness over the having? No! I'm choosing that I'm happy right now with or without it. I've learned this in my life and begun to see it just a little bit, but I've begun to see it. Deciding to be happy when you don't have the stuff, the natural thing, you know, the materials, it'll attract it to your life. Getting unhappy because of what you don't have will repel goodness away from your life. We are happy because we have a constant inward reason to be happy, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. That God will never leave us nor forsake us. The Lord Jesus said that His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who He would send to us, a comforter, one just like Him, will abide with us forever. That is an inward reason to be happy. Now, what's the inward reason to be happy? That we have Him. He's given Himself to us. If you were able to sit on my shoulder throughout the day, you'll hear me stop throughout the day and say, Lord, I'm so thankful I've got You. You've got me and I've got You. You never leave me nor forsake me. I decide I'm content. I'm happy and I'm excited and I'm expecting good things in my life from you. You're taking care of me and my children, me and my wife. All my need is supplied right now. And I'm so thankful for what you're doing in my life. What's that? I'm voicing my happiness. I'm declaring what is so in my life. Listen to this from the book of Psalms. The Lord is the strength of my life and my portion forever. Well, if he is, why would you have to say it? Because it's legal. And because in blood covenant, what I declare is so, my blood covenant partner, the Lord Jesus himself, enforces. If you say, man, I'm just so frustrated and upset. Listen, you can feel frustrated and upset. That's a fact. But you're deciding your reality when you say it. Just because I feel frustrated, just because something's grating on me and making me want to white knuckle, you know what I mean, white knuckle, making me want to just ball up my fists and say ugly things, doesn't mean I have to. It doesn't mean I have to. Psalm 73, verse 25, it says this. The man writing said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails. What does that mean? I'm going through some stuff. My flesh feels it. My emotions feel it. But God is the strength, the rock of my heart and my portion forever. Look at that. I've got plenty of reasons in the natural to lose strength. But I've got one all-encompassing reason in my heart to be happy. He's with me. He's my rock and my portion and my strength. Being content, being happy, is a choice. Now, as we got into it, we're going to begin to wrap this up now. Here's some tips on staying happy. Number one, remember, he is your best friend. God himself, the God who when the New Testament apostles and disciples began to encounter their first serious, and it wasn't very long, their first serious persecution. They were threatened by the elders in the temple. When they went back to their friends, they went to their own company, the book of Acts says in the King James. The word own company means your friends. It says that they lifted up, not just the apostles, everybody in the church lifted up their voice and said, Lord, thou art God, who has made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. That is your very best friend. There's no one more powerful than him. There's no one more capable than him. There's no one, thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no one more loyal than him. And he is loyal to you. I don't care where you are right now. You say this with me. God is loyal to me. God is, say it again, God is loyal to me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the voice of your best friend. And he will not fail you, best friend. He will not fail you. You're his very best friend. And he's given you all of his heart and all of his loyalty. Man, that's so encouraging. That doesn't give you confidence, man. That just gives you, just puts some strength in your chest. Yeah, I know it does. It's doing it to me right now. And he will not fail you. He won't let you down. He won't disappoint you. And here's what you don't do to your best friend. Don't put a time limit on him. Just let him handle it. Say, best friend, you're handling this. I'm sticking with you no matter what. I don't care what I see or feel. I'm sticking with you. I'm sticking with you. Now, all right. Let's look at the next thing here real quick. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 real quick. 1 Peter 5. Tips to being happy. Tips to staying happy. That's it. Tips to staying happy. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's only a few pages away from Hebrews 13, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump in. First Peter chapter 5, look in verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, that word care means it encompasses all of these. Anxiety, worries, concerns, things you're upset about, cast it all over on Him. Especially the ones you find yourself wanting to hold on to the most. How do I even do that, Duke? Let me tell you. You make the decision to. See, you're going to come down to the fact that everything in the kingdom of God runs on decisions, as far as you and I are concerned. When we hear something from God, we've got to make a decision about it. When we put our faith in God, we've got to make a decision about it. If there's no decision, you're just going through the motions and there's no power in it. It won't have any effect. You got to make a choice about everything. Here's why. Man, I want to get up real close when I say this. Here's why. God has already made His decision about you and I. That's why He said it in the book. The book of Psalms says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." You know what the word settlement means? He's decided. So now what do you and I have to do? Make a decision. Y'all get it? All right. Now, casting all your care. So I decide, Lord, I cast all my care over on You. That's how you do it. Lord, I decide with all my heart. I cast all this care over on You. Now here's what you're also believing. That the care, the anxiety, the worry, the fear, the concern, I'm believing that He now has it, not me. He's got it. Well, did He catch it? Did He grab it? I don't care what He did. I believe He's got it now, and I don't. And here's why. If He has it, you and I don't. And if He has it, phew. Talking about what Abraham saw about Him, Abraham was fully persuaded that he was able to perform what he promised, talking about the Lord. Well, the one who can perform what He promises, and the one who did make the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that in them is, and the one that raised Jesus from the dead is now handling your and my problems. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, that was worth getting up this morning and hearing. Our very best friend, who you and I are His very best friends, is handling our problems. In fact, the things that's stressing you out most, oh sure, still go to work. We're not talking about abdicating responsibility. You've voluntarily obligated yourself to a responsibility at your jobs or at your commitments. But you don't have to carry the anxiety of those commitments. You don't have to carry the worry and the stress. Oh dear God, the stress. You don't have to carry stress one more day in your life. And care, stress, worry, and anxiety, it suppresses, weighs down, burdens down your happiness and contentment and satisfaction. If He has it, you do not. And if you don't have it, there's no more burden suppressing your happiness and contentment. Boy, that's good. Now, I'm looking at one more. I'm just checking my heart about it. Yeah, we're just going to go with this one. Turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Where are we going? Just go. Proverbs. Find it. Proverbs chapter 12. And I believe this will be our last tip. Listen, here's what you have. Glory to God. This is what you have when there's no care anymore. The word is peace. peace. The book of Psalms 23 that we read earlier, it says that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's God's goodness, all of his resources and his mercy. That's his covenant love. They follow you and I every day. Those are the ingredients of our contentment and our happiness. So if they're following you every day, what do you do? Well, what do you do when UPS and FedEx follow you every day? You accept what they're trying to deliver you. You say this, Lord, I believe I receive your goodness and your mercy today. And I have it now. How do you know you have it now? Because I just received it. Do you feel it? Not yet. But I've decided. It's the decision. It's the decision. The feelings come after the decision. We don't make a decision based on feelings. We make a decision and then the feelings come. Isn't that good? Peace. The book of Philippians says that the peace of God, once we decide we're careful and worried and anxious and concerned about nothing, but we put it all over on him. We've cast it all over on him. Listen, he wants it. Especially the ones you're trying to hold on to the most. Well, I've let these little cares go, but this big one now, I don't know. That's the one you need to cast on him the most. The one that you're most having the trouble turning over to him is the one that you most need to turn over to him. And thank you, Lord. And then you know what fills the vacuum of that space, that care and worry and concern was taken up? The peace of God. I don't just mean like, hey, man, peace. That's just gibberish in the mouth of someone who's ignorant of what they're speaking about. We're talking about the contentment, the satisfaction, the happiness, the awareness of you being his best friend. That gives you peace. The book of Isaiah says that the work of righteousness, the work, the effect of being made his very best friends is peace. And the deep effect on us is quietness and contentment, assurance, confidence. I'm his best friend. I didn't make myself his best friend. He made me his best friend. Well, we're getting short on time. I don't want to keep you too long. Look in Proverbs chapter 12. But isn't that good, though? He's made you his best friend. That gives you peace. Phew. Isn't that good, man? Come on. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied, content, happy, glad, with good. God never expected you to be happy with bad. Come on, you got to go to church somewhere stupid to believe that. Yeah, I said it. No one's asking you to be, we're just going to be content with our terrible situation and boils and we're just suffering for the Lord. Man, shut up with that mess. That is religious nonsense. You know you don't believe it outside of church anyway. You just say it to sound good in church. It just makes you sound stupid, like you don't know God. He's a good God. He loves you. Would you be satisfied with your best friend suffering? You'd be in the car on the way to their house with stuff, food, and help before you could even think about it if your best friend was in trouble. Well, you're not a very good friend. God is no different. We're made in his image. Are you going to be able to say to God at the end of time that I was a better friend than you were to me? Preposterous. Outlandish. Garbage. Or as they say in Texas, bull. No, we're satisfied with good from God. And he says this, by the fruit of his mouth, what we say affects our happiness and contentment. If all you talk about all the time is stress and problems and news and care and what are we going to do, it's going to affect your happiness. We're not saying ignore it. We're just saying deal with it and then go on and enjoy your life. Life's too short to carry all this burden around with this, man. Come on. Sure, I acknowledge things are going on. I've prayed about it. I've turned the care of it over to the Lord, and I've gone to his covenant and found out what I'm going to put my trust in him about, and I trust that he's handling it. And now back to enjoying our life. Now back to enjoying our regularly scheduled program of happiness and contentment. It's the best series you'll ever binge watch, Happiness and Contentment. How we talk has an effect on our happiness and our satisfaction. How I use my faith. Look at what he said. A man will have good, be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Notice the fruit of your mouth. Listen, your neighbors can talk stupid. Tune them out. Don't let it rob you of your happiness. What we're talking about, now get this now. What we're talking about with happiness and contentment, being satisfied in our heart, being having a fulfillment that's from God and not from any man, is inner prosperity. Inner prosperity. Now, I believe in outward prosperity. It has a job to do. It has a role. Number one, to enjoy our life. God said he gives us, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, I give you, we're trusting in God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. But that enjoyment, number one, is to be meant, to be spent doing this, telling other people, supplying the telling of others how good life being best friends with God is. That's where I want to spend my money most. That's what I'm excited about the most. I enjoy nice stuff. It doesn't save other people. It saves other people when I put it to use to save them. When I mean save, that they accept eternally God's best friendship and salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, you can look it up, but Jesus said that when you believe in your heart, and don't doubt that what you say comes to pass, you have whatsoever you say. There's a decision to make. Lord, I decide I believe that what I say comes to pass. So I start saying, instead of, man, I'm just so stinking frustrated, you start saying this. Lord, this thing's trying to frustrate me. I cast the care of them over on you. I decide I'm content. Yeah, right here, right now, beads of sweat and frustration trying to roll off my forehead. I decide I'm content. I decide I'm happy. I believe I receive your goodness and your mercy. That was real. I'm laughing. I'm not trying to fake it. I'm just saying I believe I receive it. Man, my cup's running over. Oh, it's so good. Listen, I highly recommend living like this. Notice, you don't have to wait till the feelings of frustration are gone. You can change them right in the middle of feeling frustrated. It's so good to live this way. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 16 says, be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Isn't that good? First Thessalonians 5:16 in the Amplified. Be happy in your faith. In your faith in what? In my confidence that I put in God. In my best friend. He won't fail me. I'm already happy. You can be happy now on the front side. I don't have to see the answer yet. I'm walking by faith, not by sight. I've turned the problem over to him. I'm trusting that he's handling it. Well, now I go ahead and be happy and thankful about it. I go ahead and be happy and thankful. Listen, another tip to your happiness, we're just going to add this in for extra, is the decision to be thankful. Thankful for my little? No, thankful that I have food and raiment, and therewith be content, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I have food. Listen, my kids are clothed, and they got food in their bellies today. There is so much to be thankful for. There's so much to be thankful for. Listen, you and I woke up today, another day on this earth where our life was preserved, that we get to be a blessing to other people and be used to be an asset to God, to be good to other people, to show them that the goodness of God is real. Listen, the goodness of God leads men to repentance, not your suffering. The goodness of God leads men to repentance, not your unhappiness. People, I didn't need help to be unhappy. I could do very well on that on my own. Y'all with me on that? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You don't need God's help to be unhappy. You can do that well enough on your own. No, it's the goodness of God that leads men to change, men and women to change and want to, whatever I've got to do to have that goodness in my life, show me. Easy. Just accept it. Take it like a handshake. Just come on in and take a plate of it. He doesn't want anything from you. He wants to do something for you. Doesn't that make you happy? That makes me happy, man. Come on. That's good. So let's decide this today. We're going to decide this, and we're going to pray over you. Man, the Lord's good. Say this with me. In your house, go ahead. Just lean back. Maybe you're watching with some other people, but just lean back in your chair, wherever you are. Close your eyes. Focus on God. How do I do that? Just decide He's there. Listen, you're making a decision. Heavenly Father, say this. Heavenly Father, I decide that I'm content. I believe I receive your goodness and your mercy. I'm happy. I'm content in you. You won't fail me, best friend, because you've made me your best friend. Ooh. It's so good, man. It's just so wonderful. Say this too. I'm happy and full of peace. I cast all my care over on you. You've got it, and I don't. And you're handling it, and I'm thankful. Thank you for the answer. Thank you for helping me. I love you because you first love me. I'm with you all the way. I'm sticking with you because you're sticking with me. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that doesn't make you happy.